The scripture reading today is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Of all the psalms in the Bible, none is better known than the 23rd Psalm. This passage is loved by people who have loved the Lord all their lives. It's loved by people who have little to do with the faith. It is the most beloved of psalms. Many of us memorized these six simple stanzas when we were so young that we can't recall a time when we didn't know the words by heart. The beautiful imagery of Psalm 23 led the 19th century pastor Henry Ward Beecher to call it the Nightingale of the Psalms. He said it was a small and of a homely feather, singing shyly out of obscurity and yet filling the air of the whole world with melodious joy greater than the heart can conceive. Psalm 23 has sustained many of us through great loss and tribulation. We remember many, but perhaps one or two particular funeral services when those assembled comforted one another by saying Psalm 23 together in unison. Or in the aftermath of a crisis, when words failed us, and then spontaneously coming out of our mouths, the words, "The Lord is my shepherd." In so many situations, it is the most appropriate scripture that we could ever imagine. It has led us in paths of comforts all the days of our lives. The writer, it's no one less than King David. At least that's what it says at the very beginning, the first two words to this psalm that appear as a subscript in your Bible say, a psalm of David. David, who was called to be king of Israel from the pastures, where as a young man he was shepherding sheep. This past week has been one of those occasions when we need the assurance of this beloved psalm, and we need to know that its trustworthy shepherd is there for us. Psalm 23 is an expression of trust and confidence amidst the failure of everything else. An economic report worse than all feared, a deadly virus run amok, and the end of stimulus checks for the unemployed, threatening millions with eviction. The first part of the psalm offers the image of the Lord God as our shepherd. We find the metaphor of God as shepherd throughout the Old Testament, and, in fact, the whole ancient world. Elsewhere in the Psalms, we read that Israel is the people of God's pasture, the sheep of God's hand. In cultures older than Israel, there are numerous instances where kings or gods are described as shepherds of their people. And so the God of the Hebrew people has also been described as a shepherd. He had a name. A name revealed to Moses in the burning bush. We tend to think of the name of God as the Lord. But when Moses asked him his name, he told him Yahweh. Later, in the tradition, they esteemed God's name so highly that they thought it was inappropriate to say the words, and so they substituted another word, Adonai, which we translate as the Lord. And so as we read, "The Lord is my shepherd" in English, if we were reading it in Hebrew, we might say, Adonai is our shepherd, but what we would see is Yahweh is my shepherd. And in thinking about the importance of Psalm 23 to its original hearers, it helps to think of God as having an actual name, Yahweh. During the Babylonian exile, surrounded by foreign deities, Isaiah spoke of Yahweh feeding his flock like a shepherd, gathering lambs in his arms, carrying them closely while leading the mother sheep. The prophet Ezekiel describes the shepherding heart of God by portraying Yahweh searching for his sheep, seeking them out like a shepherd seeks out and rescues a scattered flock. Yahweh in Babylon, not one of the Babylonian gods, but this God, our God, Yahweh, is shepherd. Here, Psalm 23 presupposes God's care for the flock of Israel wandering in the wilderness. There in the Exodus and his exiles in Babylon. That's the presupposition, but that's not the focus. The simple statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," is an individual person's song of trust. It affirms a confidence deeply rooted in the experience of one who has been cared for by God and knows it. Someone who has known over the course of the years, in the midst of life's ups and downs, the difficulties, the highs, the lows, known that God has cared for them, sheltered them from harm, and given them rest. It is a personal statement. Not only is Yahweh our shepherd, Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh, not some other God, my shepherd. And it follows that when Yahweh is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's a comprehensive statement, all-inclusive. It's not that I don't lack this or that, food, drink, shelter. With Yahweh as my shepherd, nothing is lacking in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths. We may know that as paths of righteousness. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. These next verses spell out in detail what it means to have God as our shepherd. Two specific provisions are named, green pastures and still waters. God supplies food and drink, all the things that are needed to sustain life. But there is more to the image. To be able to lie down in the pasture is a picture of divine blessing and a giving of peace that results from knowing that God is there for us, providing. And so we have this portrait of safety, as well as sustenance, as animals graze and rest in a verdant, watered meadow, where they've been safely led by their shepherd. And this provision brings refreshment and renewal. So he restores my soul. This is a testimony from someone who has cried out to God in a time of real trouble, and God has met him and delivered him. When David attests to God's leading in right paths, or paths of righteousness for his name's sake, there's really a twofold meaning here. God leads the one who trusts along the safe and correct pathway, not the wrong path, and there are many wrong paths. And so the right path, and God leads the one who trusts in the way of righteousness and justice. I think this means that, of course, God wants us to save us by leading us in the right way, the way that leads to life. And God wants to bless us in order for us to be a blessing to others. God wants us to be part of His great salvation plan, a plan which includes putting everything that is wrong right, taking the upside down and turning it right side up. That's what God is about. That's why God sent Jesus. And so David continues telling us that the reason God, the shepherd, does all this is for His name's sake. This means that nothing less than God's reputation, God's glory, is at stake in this work. When God saves us and when God invests us in the work of justice and righteousness, He is keeping His good reputation. He is doing what is according to His character. So all the loving care and provision, the affording security and the rest to which David testifies is part of God's intention to bless the whole world through His chosen people, which will then lead to the fulfillment of God's just and loving purposes for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, we know the words, the valley of the shadow of death. In spite of the dire circumstances in which I find myself, I am not afraid, the psalmist writes. I fear no evil. Well, this past week has been a particularly dark valley. The past 5 months have seen COVID-19 cast a gloomy, depressing shadow over the world. By region, states and large cities have literally walked through, are walking through, the valley of the shadow of death. So many are afraid. Afraid of infection, afraid of losing livelihood, afraid of eviction, afraid for families and loved ones, afraid of losing momentum on whatever they were working on, the project, the career, the relationship, afraid of losing hope. Amidst our fear, please hear David's testimony. I fear no evil. As if to testify to us, you don't have to be afraid. This is the heart of Psalm 23, the ultimate saving word of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New. It is the most frequent saying in the Bible. Fear not. David has heard and experienced that word in the midst of some threat or danger. He had many that he faced during his life. And now he has learned to live by it, and he testifies to it. And then comes the crescendo. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The final phrase of this verse is what one scholar calls the gospel kernel of the Old Testament. You, Lord, shepherd, are with me. This testimony to the Lord's deliverance in the face of death, in the deepest shadows of existence, is grounded in two realities. The first is a confident relationship with God, a conviction that no matter what happens, God is there for me. This is nothing less than the promise of God with us. In Hebrew, Emmanuel, which is the message at the heart of the New Testament. Matthew's gospel begins with Mary being told that she will bear a son whose name means God with us, Emmanuel. And at the conclusion of Matthew, Jesus' final words are, lo, I am with you always. This is a reality for David, a reality that takes away fear. I fear no evil, for you, Lord God, are with me. The second reality that disperses the shadowy gloom of fear is a confidence that God will deliver, which Matthew records in the name Mary and Joseph are instructed to give their newborn son. Jesus, which is Hebrew, is literally Yeshua. We say Joshua, but it means Yahweh saves, the Lord saves. This deliverance that the Lord provides is depicted by the imagery of the shepherd's rod, which is a club for beating off any animals or any being that would threaten the flock, as well as the staff or shepherd's crook, which the shepherd uses to guide the sheep or to pull them back in when they start to wander away. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then comes a shift. The metaphor of the Lord as shepherd who lovingly protects the flock changes to a host who lavishly provides a table in the presence of enemies. When Israel was wandering in the wilderness following the Exodus from Egypt, some of the people were afraid that the shepherd who led them out of slavery could not be trusted to lead them to green pastures. After all, they were in the middle of the Sinai Desert. The promised land of milk and honey was nowhere in sight. And so they did what sheep always tend to do when they are afraid. They ran from the shepherd and headed down a way that they thought was a more promising path towards what they thought were more promising gods. And it was on such an occasion that they challenged Moses, asking if Yahweh could spread a table in the wilderness. The scene is recalled in Psalm 78. When Psalm 23 proclaims, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies," it recalls how God did faithfully provide for his people in the wilderness for 40 years. And then he brought them into the promised land. And it looks forward to another table. A table centuries later that the Lord Jesus, who is called the Good Shepherd, the one who promised to lay down his life for his sheep, the Lord stood at a table and he repeated the Passover litany, recalling God's faithfulness in the wilderness. There Jesus was the host at his Last Supper. And as he led his disciples in the Passover liturgy, he infused it with a new meaning. And he offered his body and his blood as the symbols of salvation for God's new Israel. Finally, in coming among us in the flesh, Jesus Christ gives new meaning to the last verse of this morning's psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us in Jesus Christ, is nothing less than God's goodness and mercy following us, coming after us like a shepherd looking for a lost sheep, pursuing us all the days of our life, even in the middle of a pandemic. Friends, in the midst of our very real fears, in this very difficult season, as we all wonder where God is, as we struggle to trust him, as we are tempted to run in fear toward other more appealing and less demanding shepherds, gods of our own making, yet gods that at some level we know offer only false hope, temporary fixes, false visions of peace, in this time and place, the 23rd Psalm invites us to trust by recalling God's faithful provision in the past. Remembering is the key to trusting God in the present and the future. And so every time we come to this table set by our Lord, we remember the God who has shepherded his people in the ancient past, leading them through the wilderness to freedom and security and peace. And we remember the God who sent his Son to literally dwell among us, who promises to be present for his people now and in the future, no matter what fearful enemies pursue us. This table set before us in the presence of our many enemies is nothing less than a testimony to the reality of God's goodness and mercy following us, as in the past, on this day, and in all the uncertain seasons that lie ahead. Let us pray. Lord Shepherd, teach us to trust. Give us the confidence to stay the path on which you lead us in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our enemies. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.